Thank you, Alan. It's good to be here today. You probably wonder why I'm wearing a coat, and most of you are not wearing a coat. This is March Madness, and so I'm wearing a coat on behalf of Coach K and Coach Few from out at Gonzaga, and Coach Ray Williams, who got beat by Duke over the weekend. And I'm also, you know, my son is a real big NASCAR fan, and he's getting married in just a matter of 48 days. Can't wait. He can't wait. He's 32, and wow, we're looking forward to that. And he's a big NASCAR fan, and Jeff Gordon, who he used to root for, he's wearing a coat like this now in the booth, you know, can you imagine? And I have to have some place to put my mints, to put the microphone thing that's there, and to put my pen in one pocket and my date book in another in case, you know, somebody has a date they want to put on my date book. And so that's why I'm going to be speaking on the topic of frustration this morning. So maybe this coat sort of helps with the topic that I'm going to be speaking on today. I'm also carrying not the Jerry Falwell edition of the Bible, but it's about as heavy as his used to be. And I just need to see if I can get this. I don't know if I can. I was working on one of these at one church recently. I spoke and I pinched my finger and it left a mark for 3 weeks. So I just didn't want that to happen again. But, you know, I was hearing about Easter eggs and candy and stuff like that. I think that's what Brenda shared in the announcements. And I was at a church on Wednesday night last week where I spoke. They're having a helicopter come the weekend there before Easter, and they're dropping eggs out of this helicopter. And I'm thinking, my picture when I first heard this was eggs that were not cooked. Dropping out and hitting the pastor and the kids on the head and splashing over everywhere. And then on the news this weekend, I saw a politician was from someplace was speaking, and a kid came up to him, wanted to take his picture, and smashed an egg, a raw egg, on the back of his politician, which resulted in some real problems. But anyway, they told me that they're using another kind of eggs, the plastic kind that have candy inside, and I'm still trying to figure out, what do you do? Do you wear a hard hat when you come to this event for children to get Easter eggs and all the candy and all this kind of stuff? But I just like to say thanks for giving me the opportunity to be back here again. It's been a joy to be able to serve the Lord. It's 50 years that God has given me the opportunity with my wife to be able to be married, 50 years this year, and 50 years of being able to minister God's word in various settings. And it's a joy to be able to share what God's word has to say, to be able to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the only way to really know hope and have hope and be at peace within. The only way we can find forgiveness of sins is to be related to Jesus Christ, right? Do you know Christ is your personal Savior? Amen? Isn't it wonderful to have that taken care of and to know that with peace of mind, I can say, when my day on earth is done, I will be with the Lord in heaven because I have trusted in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross, shed His blood for me, made it possible for me to experience reality, spiritual life, eternal life. I'm so glad that I have that. Now, life is full of frustration. It really is. Have you found a way to handle frustration in your life without getting frustrated? I came up the back way from Charmantown this morning on Trindle Road, a very familiar road to me, and it was not frustrating at all. There was not one car in front of me this time. I actually found the way in this time, the correct way, rather than going further towards Carlisle, working my way through the malls and all the various places and coming like the last two times that I came in. I just looked for Sheetz's and turned left at Sheetz's and found it was so easy. So I was not frustrated at all. So I come in refreshed this morning. But, you know, life is full of frustration. There's no doubt about it. And we need to find ways to handle it. And I'd like us today to consider the wisdom of Solomon in the Old Testament of the Bible, to consider his wisdom in dealing with frustration. I'd like us to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 6. So if you're turning God's word today to Ecclesiastes chapter 6, that's where we will spend some time today as we deal with the subject of frustration. Let's pray. Father, help me to honor you, to use your word that you've revealed to us in such a way that we can see something in it from this chapter in Ecclesiastes, which will help us to deal with the frustrations of life that are real. Thank you, God, that you have made it possible for us to not only live and to know life and to find peace and to have our sins forgiven, but that you've equipped us to be able to deal with the frustrations of life. You've equipped us. Lord, help us to see you in the matters of life today. through your word. Thank you for the opportunity to share it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 6, if you just follow along as I read a few verses for you, I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it says in verse 1, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men, a man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor." Any of you here have lots of riches and wealth and honor? "So that he lacks nothing for himself of all that he desires. Yet," notice the rest of that verse, "yet God does not give him power to enjoy or eat of it. But if a foreigner consumes it, this is vanity, and it's an evil affliction." Okay? That's sort of like the punchline leading into this message today. We'd like to talk about frustration. What can we find in God's Word to help us to deal with the frustrations of life? So we want to give you some information, that will hopefully help you to be fulfilled in your life rather than frustrated. So the first thing I want you to think about is, what is frustration? And all we see here in this first verse is that Solomon says, it's an evil which I have seen under the sun. And that didn't satisfy me when I was preparing for this message, so I decided to do what most humans would do if they have one, if they have a Webster's dictionary, which I did happen to have one, and I opened it up and I went to definition number one under Webster's dictionary's definition of frustration, and this is what it said. Number one, something that frustrates. Yeah, that's frustrating. That really is. So I looked up the other word that was close to it in the dictionary, and that's the word frustrate. And it said it's a verb, it said VI. I figured that meant verb intransitive. If you remember what intransitive is from English class, you're doing better than I did. But anyway, verb intransitive, which means to become frustrated. And that's also frustrating. When you're preparing something and you want to know what you're talking about and you look in the dictionary and it gives you frustration, means that you're frustrated. Whoa. So then I looked up frustrated. That's got the D on the end. And it gave me a little bit more. It says, having a feeling of or filled with frustration. And that's frustrating as well. Can you believe it? Webster's dictionary. That thick that dictionary was. I guess that's why it's that thick. Okay? So, you know, if you've ever been around long, you're not always going to find the definition that you're looking for in Webster's dictionary. Ever been there? Done that? And felt that? Wow. So, what do? You go to, if you have a dictionary that goes beyond number one, you go to number two. And frustration number two says it's a feeling of dissatisfaction. A feeling of dissatisfaction often accompanied by anxiety, or, you know, I was getting a little bit of anxiety as I was trying to figure out what it was as I was working my way through Webster's, accompanied by anxiety or even depression, resulting from unfulfilled needs or unresolved problems. Yeah, now I got it. Now I'm getting it. Now I know where I'm going with. I mean, I use the word frustrated. Don't you use that word? I'm frustrated today. You know, like often when you look out the window and there's 4 or 5 inches of snow and you know you got to use muscles in your body you weren't planning on when you woke up unless you had checked the news the day before. So, yeah, I use that word. I use all those frustrate words. They're a part of my life, but now I sort of get it. There's this feeling of dissatisfaction. It's accompanied with something that's going on in my life that's resulting in anxiety because of unfulfilled needs or unresolved problems in my life. You got any unfulfilled needs in your life? How about on this side? Do you have any unfulfilled needs in your life? Any unresolved problems that you're dealing with that you haven't been able to bring about conclusion yet? Okay? So, you know, I'm giving you what I experienced in working with Webster's Dictionary. I know that's not the Word of God, but it's because I was working through chapter 6 and it began with, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men." What are some basic frustrations that we experience? What are some things that frustrate us? Well, they're mentioned here in God's Word. The first one is the frustration of being deprived. being deprived of the quality of life that would enable us to enjoy what we have been given by God or worked for. I assume that many of us here have had jobs or have a job, and we have put labor in, put time in. Usually it's 40 hours a week. I know when I was in full-time ministry as a pastor in a church, my weeks were often 60 to 70 hours a week. That was a pretty good deal for those that paid me. But it just, that's a lot of hours. And perhaps you have those kinds of hours, and you've done it, and you've got it. But Solomon is saying in this section of Scripture, notice here in verse 2, a man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor. I mean, really, isn't that where wealth and honor and riches come from God? He's the one that makes it possible for us to have what we have. He's the one that makes it possible for us to know how to get what we need, how to handle what we need. And he's the source of it. But in Solomon's case, and he was pretty loaded, wasn't he? I mean, Solomon had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of wealth. He had a lot of gold. He had a lot of silver. He had a lot of resources. He had a lot of animals. He had a lot of everything. But he says, a man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor so that he lacks nothing like himself for himself of all that he desires, yet God does not give him power to enjoy it or to eat of it, and someone else is the one that benefits from it and consumes it. That's the first frustration I like to address today, of being deprived of the quality of life that would enable you to enjoy what you have been given by God and worked for. You ever feel like that? Feel like you've been deprived? You compare yourself to the Joneses? Whoops, I'm sorry, Alan. That was, whoa. Comparing yourself to the Jones, that's an okay expression. You just happen to have the right name, like Bob Jones did too. Yeah, right, all four or five of them. Yeah, at any rate, we compare ourselves to others and what they have, and they seem to have it all, and we have a little bit, but then, you know, what we do have, we can't enjoy it. You know, I'm at that stage in life where, you know, I wear glasses now so that I can see what you look like. Is it all right if I take my glasses off so I can see what you don't look like? Better with them on. Better with them on. At any rate, Solomon is referring to this thing of frustration that we're talking about today as an evil. An evil which he had seen under the sun. That's what he's calling it. That's what God let him call it. It's the Scripture. Solomon is just being used to give it to us. And he says of this frustration that it's common. It's common among men. It's common among men and women to be frustrated, and adults and youth as well. It's common for us to be frustrated with the fact that we've been deprived of the quality of life that would enable us to really be able to enjoy life as it is. So many times people get to a certain age, they retire, and they thought they had prepared well, and then all of a sudden they come down with some physical ills. Thursday, my best friend called me and told me that his brother, they're very close, so he's a friend of mine as well, that he had an appendectomy. He was in the hospital in ICU. He ended up with a five-hour surgery dealing with his appendix and stuff flowing through his system. Then it went infected his heart. This guy's in his late 50s, took an early retirement, and this brings a whole new life into the world of my friend's brother and his wife. Last night we were talking with someone on the phone from long distance in another state, and he informed us that the lady that was the, I call them the best women in weddings, what are they, maid of honors, is that what they are? Maid of honors. She was a maid of honor in our wedding. She stood alongside my wife. She'd been a friend of my wife from the time they were young, and she has very aggressive, full-blown Alzheimer's, and she's younger than my wife. And those are some of the types of things that come, and you can no longer enjoy what you had thought you had prepared for your future. And it's really important to plan for your future, to think about your reserves and your resources and those kinds of things. You have to do that. We trust God through it in preparation. We trust God through it after we're there. But those are the kinds of things you never know. Can you imagine some of the cruel things that have been in the news in the last week that have happened to families, where we heard about the guy that, you know, he butchered his wife, and you know, he covered it for so long, but eventually it caught up and they found that what he had done to her, he was the one that did it to her, and somebody else that, you know, they butchered their their stepdaughter. And it's just unbelievable what goes on out there in the world and how it affects you. Those are the uncivil things that happen all around the world. And so there's common evils amongst us under the sun that cause frustration in life. And some of them have to do with the matter of being deprived of the quality of life as you once knew it. Man doesn't get the opportunity, in other words, we're saying, to enjoy what he possesses. Doesn't get the opportunity to enjoy his riches, his wealth. If you go, my father-in-law and mother-in-law both ended up in a long-term care facility, and we are so thankful that they did because they lived in another state, and we were 3 hours away from them and trying to deal with all of those things. But my mother-in-law got to where she couldn't walk. My father-in-law put her in a long-term facility. She was there 1 year, and my father-in-law was visiting her, had a full-blown stroke, never came home, yet lived for 7 more years. And so I know what I'm talking about with regards to what happens to what you have. Now, they were taken care of because of the way the system was. They were able to live there until they went to be with the Lord in heaven. But, boy, it just changes things and changes focus and changes perspective. You know, some of us are up there where we think, well, we're saving a little bit so that our children, you know, that are full adults now, I mean, they should be able to take care of themselves, but we want to give them something, right? Because you pass on to those that are your part of your family, and to pass on to your grandchildren. It says in Scripture, it's nice to be able to give something to your grandchildren. That's the godly thing to do. But it gets to the point where some people aren't able to do that. That's what Solomon is talking about here in this first frustration. The second frustration that we can experience is the fact that somebody else gets to enjoy and consume what was ours. Now, it uses the word foreigner here in the New King James, but it's one who should have no direct ties to the stuff, but they're the ones that get control over it and proceed to enjoy it. And I have parentheses here in my notes, whether it's by confiscation, whether it's by court order, whether it's by distress sale, whether it's by ill health or whatever. So many different ways somebody else gets it. And there are thieves everywhere in life that can get a hold of what we thought we had, that God had given to us or we had worked for. And Solomon, he's just expressing it here. And this is a frustration. It was a frustration to him. He refers to it as an evil disease. That's like an affliction, a bad sickness that hits us. It's a meaningless, sickening tragedy. Are we free from that kind of stuff in our lives just because we're Christians, because we're related to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we free from tragedies? I mean, the church I preached in last Sunday, I get a call on Monday that a lovely woman in that church, a mother of 9 children, was coming home with one of her daughters. And as she was coming into where their property is, a big truck came up behind her, and another truck was coming from the other direction, and an accident took place. Now, somehow, by God's grace and mercy in her life and his sovereign plan, she was able to dart off to the side and get away from it, but the other two vehicles collided, you know. And she just wanted us to know what had happened and how, you know, God had preserved her from what could have been an awful thing. No damage to her car, but the other two vehicles, major damage in an accident, and her young daughter seeing all of this unfold. Stuff can happen so quickly in our life. There's so much sickening tragedy that's out there. But to Solomon, somebody else gets to enjoy. Just stop and think. If you had, I don't know, maybe if you had $50,000, that's not a lot of money, but that's a lot of money to most people, because most people in the United States don't even have $10,000 available in savings and have debt over $6,000-$7,000 in debt. But just think you had $50,000 and you thought you were sitting pretty good, or maybe you had $100,000. And I won't bother going up like with the billionaires and the millionaires, but you know, I know I'm not there, and so I assume most of you aren't there either, though if you are, praise the Lord. It's God that allowed you to get there. But just think, if you got it, you think you got it made, and something happens in your life, and you can't even oversee what your stuff is anymore, and somebody else gets to do it, and they're, unfortunately, sometimes relatives pillage stuff like that. It happens all the time. Some of the stories I've heard from the funeral directors through the years are unbelievable of what happens to stuff. Okay, then there's a third frustration that we experience in these verses. It says, yet God does not give him power to eat of it. We wonder, why God allowed this? Does God allow stuff to happen? Is God in control? Is he the sovereign God? Is he the one that created us? Is God of Bible the one that has sustained us? Is he only in control when wonderful, exciting, loving, blessed things happen to us? Yeah, God's in control, isn't this wonderful? But what about when the tough stuff comes? Like this dear friend, and by the way, my wife's dear friend that has full-blown Alzheimer's now, her husband is a pastor. Wow. And you say, wow, why would God allow this kind of stuff to happen? And it's sort of like Solomon is maybe thinking here, and maybe we're thinking as we're working through this and just thinking about the matter of frustrations in life that come, this frustration of, we wonder why God allowed this to happen to us and doesn't do anything about it. We want God to solve the problems yesterday, don't we? We all do to some degree. We have a problem waiting. This tie that I'm wearing, I try to wear ties when I wear ties that convey something. And I was thinking about wearing one of those St. Patrick's Day ties today, but I didn't. Then I was going to wear a tie that had a picture of a lion and a lamb on, and it was sort of green. And I thought, well, maybe that could go, but it didn't look as good with the blue. So I ended up wearing this tie that a friend recently gave me. It's Isaiah 40:31. It's got pictures of eagles on it. Last night, I saw a picture on the line of an eagle and a squirrel in the same picture. And I could have clicked on and watched to think that somebody took pictures of this and has it on YouTube or something, but they're together and they're fending against one another, an eagle and a squirrel. I think, oh, that's great. We've got so many squirrels in our backyard. I think I got a squirrel zoo. But anyway, this tie says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And it says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall, run and not faint, walk and not be weary. Wait, do you find that it's easy to wait? I mean, how many here find that it's really easy to wait? How many of you like to go to the doctor's office? Your appointment's at 9:45, and at 9:50, you still haven't seen the doctor. How many of you like to go to Hershey Park or Knoebels, or if you really get on a trip and go to Disney World and wait in the long lines? I was there one time, and I had to wait in line for the jumping bear something. I had to wait for almost an hour to get to see that thing happen. And I don't like to wait even at red lights. How many of you like to wait at red lights? Is there anybody like that here? Just want to get your autograph after the service. But I don't like to wait for red lights. How many of you like to wait for your tax return? How many of you like to wait to even do them? You know, at any rate, that's this time of the month also. Well, we wonder, why does God allow this to happen and doesn't he do anything about it? He should. He's God. He's loving God. He's a caring God. He certainly is. He's a wonderful God. You read about the God of Scripture. He's wonderful. I'm so glad I'm related to him. So those are some of the frustrations that we experience in life. So how painful are these frustrations? I think that's a legitimate question. How painful are these frustrations that we experience when one has not seen goodness? Notice verses 3 to 6 here. In verses 3 to 6 it says, if a man begets 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with good, or indeed he has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better than he, for it comes in vanity and departs in darkness, and its name is covered with darkness, though it has not seen the sun or known anything, this has more rest than that man, even if he lives 1,000 years twice, but has not seen goodness. Do not all go to one place? So how painful are these frustrations that are being addressed here in Ecclesiastes 6? And how painful are the frustrations that you are experiencing in your life, or that people that you love and are dear to you, that they're experiencing in your life? Well, they are more painful than the blessing of a large family, according to verse 3. More painful than the blessing of a large family. I've preached at two churches in the last year. One family had 9 children. He had 8 daughters before the boy finally was born. You know, and can you imagine waiting 9 times for the son? That dad was so thankful. And, you know, you can tell what happened in the meantime, because this past hunting season, every girl in the family but one and the young son all got a deer. And I'm not talking about the kind that you date and marry later. though two of them did find those too and get married in the last few months. But that just, and you need deer meat to feed a family of 11, okay? But he says these kinds of frustrations that are being deprived of the quality of life that we hoped we'd be able to enjoy and somebody else getting and enjoying and consuming what was ours, and the frustration of wondering why God allowed this to happen and he doesn't stop it from happening and it's still happening in my life, and this is unfair. It's frustrating. How painful? It's more painful than the blessing of a large family, as he says here in verse 3. It's also more painful than the blessing of a long life. No length of life can compensate for life that is robbed of its quality, especially when that quality was in one's grasp. We're almost there. I've talked to so many people, I'm going to get retired. I'm taking an early retirement so I can enjoy life and I can go all over the place. You know, for me, it was just go from where I was living in Sunbury when I retired and came back to just, you know, I didn't mind if I just went to Knoebels. That was close enough. I didn't have to go all over the world. And I like to drive to people's houses that I know and to be able to spend time with people. That's more meaningful to me than to go to Hawaii. My dad spent 4.5 years in Hawaii after the bomb over there in Pearl Harbor. I've never been to Hawaii, and I don't intend on going to Hawaii, but that's okay. But we have our dreams. We all have our dreams to some degree of things we're looking forward to do. And but when we have some of these frustrations that come, it's more painful than the blessing of a long life. It's also more painful than not having a decent burial, as you saw in verse 3. More painful than not having a decent burial or respect of personal dignity. I've done at least 500 funerals in my lifetime. That's a lot of funerals. A lot of people that I was praising the Lord, they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Those are the funerals that are a blessing. Those that don't know the Lord are tough, especially if you know the people well and they refused the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in time. And then finally the time ran out. But you know, having frustrations in life can be painful, more painful than not having. There's some people that don't have a decent burial in life. It's amazing. You stop and think about the military that have been buried in other lands as a result of skirmishes that have taken place in world history that have affected our military here in the United States because they were there to assist and help others, and their bodies were left. They're still trying to get some of the remains back from Vietnam that are still over there of people that were dear to many Americans. And we have, you know, the Arlington Cemetery where many of the remains of the military have been placed in the ground. And even here locally over on the other side of the river, what's that one called? Anybody know? Fort Indian Town Gap, that's right. And we've had funerals there before. But there's people that don't have a decent burial. And, you know, I personally believe that that's something that people deserve. Our loved ones deserve a decent burial, to be remembered at that point of time in their life and honored for who they were and the place that they played in our lives and that God had them play in our lives. But he says it was these kinds of frustrations that he was experiencing, they're painful. It's more painful than to not have a decent burial and to not have the respect of one's personal dignity when that type of stuff would take place. Then the fourth one is more painful than the plight of a stillborn child who lacks the joy of life out of the womb. My wife had, we lost 4 children in pregnancy at 3 months every time. And we have 4 children, but there were 4 of them. 3 of them between, after our 3 daughters were born and our son was born 10 years later. So he was a blessing when he was born 10 years later. So that's a painful thing in life. But more painful than having a child die in the womb or having a stillborn child at birth, and I have done funerals for stillborn children and been there for their parents before, but more painful than the plight of a stillborn child who lacks the joy of life out of the womb. You know, we are here today, we all have experienced to some degree the delights of joy out of the womb. We have. I mean, aren't you glad? I'm glad that, you know, that I was able to play baseball as a young child. I was able to play basketball. I was able to coach basketball for several years. My 3 daughters were the sports people, and they played all kinds of sports. And I'm glad that, you know, out of the womb, we've all had those kinds of privileges and opportunities and so many other. It's so good to be able to, you know, maybe you have been part of choral groups or or I was part of a quartet that traveled for several years, and these experiences that we've had in life, those are all experiences out of the womb. And to be able to, I knew my grandparents, I knew my aunts and uncles, my cousins, I've had all of those joys because God gave me birth, He allowed me to live, He's kept me alive, even when I had my heart attack 5 years ago, or almost 6 years ago now. He kept me alive, and I've been able to experience more of life, and you have too. But He says, more painful than the plight of a stillborn child is one who lacks the joy of life out of the womb. That's what He's saying. The frustrations of life are tough, and that's one of the illustrations that He uses here. So, those are just some of the pains that He was experiencing. Now let's talk about how do we typically handle or deal with frustration. How do we typically handle frustrations? Look in verse 7. In verse 7 He says, all the labor of man is for the mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. For what more has the wise man than the fool? What does the poor man have who knows how to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. This also is vanity, and it's grasping for the wind. Another way to express frustration you find there in verse 9 is vanity, emptiness, and grasping for the wind. So how do we typically handle frustration? First, we work harder. We work harder to achieve happiness. We work harder to achieve happiness and satisfaction. But it doesn't satisfy. Consumption doesn't bring contentment. Eat a dip of ice cream, and I'm thinking, boy, I'd like to eat a second dip of ice cream, but I had a heart attack a few years ago, and they said, don't eat a lot of ice cream, and I'm thinking, but I like ice cream. So they just, I got them to define moderation as at least a dip of ice cream every so often is good, and leave the every so often up to me. Okay, so I eat oatmeal for breakfast, and then I use ice cream in moderation. Okay, and at any rate, but we work harder to achieve happiness and satisfaction, and consumption doesn't bring contentment. Working really hard, putting in extra hours, giving it more and more and more, just so that you can be satisfied and beat the frustrations of life and get ahead. Solomon saying, that's one thing they do, but it doesn't work. Secondly, we dream. You have any dreams last night? I dreamt on Friday night, and I thought it was a real dream, and I was really getting frustrated. And often that's what happens when you preach on a message. God sends something to go along with the message theme, so I figured I'd get frustrated. My car did not pass inspection. That's sort of like been a family member, because I've had it since 2001, and it belonged to my neighbor in Sunbury who died. Went home to be with the Lord. I had her funeral. Her husband took the car out one more time, and his son said, I don't want you driving that car anymore, Dad. He was starting to get dementia, and so I purchased that car. So it's like a family member, but it didn't pass inspection. It's not going to pass inspection. And so anyway, I was dreaming the other night, and in a dream, I was dreaming about a car. And that dream went on and on, and I couldn't get it to stop. And then finally I said, why didn't I just get up in the middle of the night, And, you get up in the middle of the night, sometimes you go get water, and sometimes you unload water. And so, at any rate, I got up, and I realized the dream wasn't real, and I'm okay. And I didn't miss the deadline of dealing with this car. So, at any rate, we dream and try to figure out the future. But the problem is we dream and try to figure out the future, how to deal with a matter of the frustrations of our lives, and our plane never lands when we dream. I've got some dear friends and relatives that do a lot of dreaming, but their plane never lands. And I feel for them. There's a lot of other planes right now that are landed. They're not letting them fly for a while because of some of the challenges that it's brought into the aviation industry with those two recent planes that have gone down. But at any rate, we dream and try to figure out the future. The New Living Translation says here, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. That's what it says in the New Living Translation, what Solomon had to say there. I think we need to have goals in our life, a vision in our life. We do need to dream. As a father, as a leader, as a church, we need to have a vision for what we're doing, where we're going. But When we try to figure out the future and our plane never lands, which is one way we try to deal with frustration, that's not going to work. Thirdly, we try to forget it. What did I just say? Did I forget it already? Did I forget it, Barry? Did I forget it? What did I say? I'll go back to my notes. We try to forget. We try to forget by denying. This never happened. This isn't happening. It's not going on in my life. And so we have a nice meal with our spouse or friend, and we're but it's still there. It's in our mind. It's in our subconscious. It's in our very being. It's affecting our body. It's affecting our life. It's affecting our relationships. We try to forget by denying or ignoring them at the present. That's how to handle frustrations for some people. And then the last way that some people try to typically handle frustration, we fight it. We fight it. We fight the frustration, or we resist God. We get to the point sometimes in our lives, if God is letting this happen in my life, if God allows things, if God is sovereign, if God is in control, if God is God, and according to the Bible, He's God, and I do believe that He's God, but if God is this way, and I still got these big frustrations in my life, I'm still having these issues with this person, I still got that problem with my finances, I have these issues at work, I got all these frustrations, this is frustrating. Much more frustrating than getting one of those dictionary definitions that gives the same definition as the word is itself and doesn't tell you anything, okay? We fight or we resist God, or we just give up and give in to Satan. Heard a message yesterday by David Jeremiah. He was wearing a green tie, by the way, in keeping with the weekend, I guess. But he spoke about the devil. Boy, it was just a powerful message about the devil and the impact that the devil is making and can make, and how we should relate to the devil. I'm so thankful that James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But often we resist God and we give in to the devil and we let him do his dirty tricks on our minds and in our spiritual lives so that the frustrations of our life become really big things. They almost become little gods in our life, bigger than the big God with the capital G that God really is. So, you ever hear that word so, S-O? I have found that the younger generation likes to use that word. I hear it on the news all the time and television and talking with people in life. You just all of a sudden, you know, you're talking and somebody says, so. So here I am with my so, because I like to be there for all generations. So, I've preached this message on frustration. I've been reading to you what Solomon had to say in these verses. And so, how can we deal with frustration without getting frustrated? Let's see the last three verses of this chapter. Verse 10, whatever one is, he has been named already. For it is known that he is a man, and he cannot contend with him, God, who is mightier than he. Since there are many things that increase vanity, that also could be rendered many words that come that increase vanity as we're dealing with frustrations, how is man the better? That's a question. And then verse 12, for who knows what is good for man in life? All the days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow. Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? Interesting question. Let me wrap this message up at this last point. How can we handle frustration without getting frustrated? First, we need to start with God. We need to start with God. That's where we need to start. We need to have the acknowledgement of the existence of a God, the acknowledgement of the existence of the only God, the God that is spelled capital G-O-D, the God that is sovereign, the God who always has been, who is, and who always will be, the God who had a plan then before creation, the God who has had a plan throughout creation, the God who has a plan for after we're here, for eternity. A God who sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, here to earth to address the needs of the individual being, the sin needs that we have, and to help us to deal with the issues of life, such as the topic of frustration that we're dealing with today. We need to start with God. The New Living Translation says, everything has already been decided. It was known long ago what each person would be. So there's no use arguing with God about your destiny. Yet we like to argue. We like to debate. Isn't it interesting, in spite of all that God has done for us in salvation, in provision in our life, forgiving of our sin, giving us everlasting life,
being there as we have experienced his joys and blessing and help throughout time. Yet when it's tough and we're frustrated and things aren't going our way or aren't going good for us, and it's tough. I mean, it is tough. I don't like toughness any more than you do. But how often it is that we have a tendency to forget God then. But we really need to start with God. So if you've got some frustration in your life today, I challenge you, start with God. We have a God who provides. And we also have a God, the only God that there is, who prevents. He can. He does prevent things. We don't know the half of what hasn't happened to us that could have happened to us. We have this God who allows prosperity, but he's also the God who allows poverty. I don't understand why some have more than others. I understand to some degree why some have a lot of resources because they just got a lot of resources, been passed down through the generations, they worked real hard. Whatever, there are billionaires, there are a lot of more millionaires and billionaires than there's ever been. I'm just not one of them, and probably you aren't either. But there's this God who allows prosperity and poverty, and this God who has been, is, and will never stop being the only God who is in control. Secondly, we need to stop trying to get the upper hand. You see, that's the problem I have, and that's the problem you have, and that's the problem others have. We try to get the upper hand with God. And what we need to do is to submit to him. It says here, he cannot contend with him who is mighty. I can't contend with God. I'm not big enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. And you know what? You aren't either, and nobody else you know is either. It's amazing. In the New Living Translation, this verse that we read to you says, the more words you speak, the less they mean. So why overdo it? Okay? I guess that could be there for preachers too, but that'd be taking it out of context, wouldn't it, Brian? Yeah, right. Okay, so we start with God, we stop trying to get the upper hand with God, and then thirdly, we stay the course with God. We stay the course with God. We continue with God. We elevate faith in him over facts. You know, we live in a tough, the fake news, the real news, who knows which news is real? It's so hard to figure that out sometimes, but there's the facts of life, and we've got to trust the God who's over the facts of life and believe that God can and will help us to find satisfaction and peace. It sounds simple. Start with God, stop trying to get the upper hand with God and submit to him, and then stay the course with him, elevating faith over facts. God knows more. God knows more than we know. Trust him. And let him lead you through the uncharted territory of your present into the future that's coming and that you will live into as long as you have life here. I close with this verse from John 10:10. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, life, and that you might have it more abundantly. We can have the abundant life being in Christ and having Christ in us, even when there are frustrations that we have to deal with as human beings. So, trust God through those times. This last line on your notes, it is now March 17, 2019. It is 11:24 a.m. on my watch, and you are, as believer in Christ, forgiven. You are born again. You are a follower of Jesus who has hope. Are you frustrated or are you fulfilled? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the fulfillment that's possible because you're God. Thank you that we can have fulfillment in life over the frustrations of life and over the past of our life by being related to Jesus Christ who came to give life and give it more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Thank you for the peace that we have in Christ. Help anyone here that's struggling with frustration to turn to you, to submit to you, and to stay the course with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.